Good morning. Morning. Y'all doing all right this morning? It is Easter morning and he is risen. Is that the best we got this morning? He is risen. Man, I am excited to be here this morning. I just want to say, Caden, Keone, all these kiddos that are coming here helping, getting stuff going in the mornings, that are up here singing, I am excited. I was talking to Caden earlier, and I was saying, hey, what should the sermon title be? And you want me to just say it, or you want to go with it? Remember when you said, he is Rizzy? I said, I don't think that's going to go real well. So we didn't go that route, or we're going to go a little bit different. I'm turning into an old man. I cut my hair shorter so that you can not see as much gray in it. But we're gonna go with a little different sermon title this morning and a little different sermon. Ralton and I are definitely like-minded in that I'm going to start with the Easter morning story, and then we're going to totally go away from it. And then, Ralton, are you even going to get into it this morning in the general story? Okay, so 95 years after the fact, we got several hundred years before the fact, but we're gonna get there this morning. Graves and gardens. I told you I'm getting to be a little bit more of an old man. I'm excited. It's about gardening season. It is just life is blooming and all kinds of things are happening. And it's just a great time of the year for most of us, right? I do want to pray and ask you all to pray, because sometimes in life you get into a point where it just feels like there is nothing but problems coming up, or we're struggling in life. Anybody ever been that in that place where you just don't know what's going to happen next, where there doesn't seem like there's any hope, or there's worry? Well, my family is a little bit in that position. It is probably my dad's place to share some things that are going on, but he won't do that. And since he's not in the room, I'm going to just share for you guys a week from tomorrow. The same guy that is downstairs preparing meals for each and every one of you is going to be going and having some surgery to remove some cancer from his bladder. And he would not share that with you at all, would he, Mama? And he doesn't, he's going to fight through it. He's going to come here and he's going to work with y'all. But the Friday before that, my mama's going to have knee surgery and have knee replacement. So we're kind of in that place where there's a lot of things going on in life that are really scary. And we're wondering. I've had multiple phone calls from my mama that said, do I need to cancel my surgery and my healing so that I can go and help your dad and all these things? And these phone calls get overwhelming, right? And we've been in that place in life where we just are overwhelmed. We don't know what's going to happen next. Could you imagine that Easter morning? Could you imagine where the disciples were mentally? They thought all these things were going great, and then all of a sudden, you know, they've had this great meal, they've done all these things, and then who they knew to be and who they thought to be, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, had been taken up and crucified and placed into that grave. And that Easter morning, that Sunday, that morning in which they went, they didn't go to celebrate. They didn't go to have excitement. They couldn't wake up in the same way that we did this morning thinking, man, we're going to have a great day. Life in general was hard. It was tough. Let's start in Luke chapter 24, and we'll read the first five verses here. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Let's pray. Lord God, as we dig into your word, as we dig into your text, Lord, this morning I ask that you breathe life into us, that you allow us to know that hope, to be able to see you more clearly. Lord, speak through me this morning and allow us to hear it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Could you imagine? So they had brought these burial spices. They were walking up to the tomb. They were prepared to go in there and take care of death. And the only way they knew how and to honor death. But I'm sure the way that they walked in was a way of fear. They had just seen Jesus crucified. They were worried to death on what was going to happen to them. They didn't know what tomorrow brung. They had spent all this time walking around following Jesus, and now he was gone, and all that they could do was come in and prepare the body in the same way that every other body was prepared, and eventually it would just go into the ground, and that was it. And they were worried. And that worry was just magnified when they walked up to the tomb and they see the stone rolled away and nothing in there. See, when we hear that story, we get excited, right? Do we get excited? Raise your hand if you get excited when you hear the stone was rolled away. Why do you get excited? Because you know what happened. Put yourself in that situation where you didn't know, where you were worried. Not only did they take our Savior's life, but now they've taken his body. We can't even prepare it. We have nothing. What do we do? And the fear that comes in, that word perplexed that they come in here, I imagine it to be much more than just, huh, that's weird. Right? I mean, that's not... I'm sure they didn't walk up and just say, oh, weird. The stone's rolled away. Huh, wonder what happened. That's queer. That's kind of crazy here. No, they walked in, beat down and destroyed, and walk in and see nothing lying there but some clothing. Where did he go? I thought that we were going to be changed. I thought that everything was going to be better and nothing less. And then all of a sudden, two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. Where I'm here to tell you, our first point is, we are hopeless without the grave. Well, wait a minute. How can we be hopeless without the grave? There is hope in the grave. There is promise in the grave. The fact that God sent his Son down to this earth to live as man and to be crucified and to die for us, what hope, what excitement is there in that death? Not in the fact that he died, but in the fact that he loved us enough to die for us and to pay sin's debt for us. There's hope in that. There's excitement in that. We have to understand that the process isn't always easy. I have no doubt in my mind that here in a few weeks or in a few months that I will be able to walk into this room with my dad and say to you, the good Lord has blessed us in ways beyond measure, and he has been glorified through this process, and we're all going to celebrate and we're all going to be excited no matter what comes out of it. But before you walk in on that Easter morning, before you walk into those problems and you see that tomb empty, when you come into those problems in life and those struggles in life, we have to realize that there is hope in the grave. And we're hopeless without it. And then you say to me, okay, if we have the grave, and you said we weren't going to just stick with the stereotypical Easter morning sermon, where are we going to go from here? Well, just in the same way we talked about gardening and we talked about turning from graves into gardens, in the way that Jesus took death, took a grave and moved it into life, for us, there is that process for us as well. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that all of us are sinners in need of a Savior, right? Can we all admit that this morning, that in some way, and in for some of us, in almost every way for myself, we fail without Christ. We do. We struggle to just keep afloat without Christ. Well, if you go to Ezekiel 37, I want to read a passage here. Ezekiel 37, the first 14 verses say, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I replied, 'Lord God, only you know.' He said to me, prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God said to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will put tendons on you. I make flesh grow on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, tendons appeared on them. Flesh grew and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says, breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord. My people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord." Can I get an amen on that? When God speaks, when God declares, it's as good as done. Sometimes we just gotta wait for his time, and that's hard to do, isn't it? That's tough. As we dig in here and we see Ezekiel, I really want to point out that and the second point is that we have to have the hand of hope. And it says, the hand of the Lord was on me. It wasn't that Ezekiel said, hey, you know what? I'd really like to go do this. It wasn't that he said, you know what? I'm thinking just on my own, I'm going to go prophesy. How can we think that our ministry is our own when God is every aspect of it? We have to depend on him. It says that the hand of the Lord was on me and he brought me out by his spirit. He calls Ezekiel out. He takes him out and says, go and breathe into these dry bones. But first he has to bring Ezekiel there. For us, We have to realize that God calls us. We can't call upon ourselves to do those things. If we truly want hope, we say, God, come lift me out of this situation that I'm in. Show me what you want me to do. And if you seek for me to be on a journey that leads into more pain, into more hard times, then know that I will find joy in that because you are holding me here. As a matter of fact, I started, anybody ever watch the movie Hacksaw Ridge? Anybody ever saw that movie? Hacksaw Ridge, it's a pretty good movie, but it's an actual account of a real life story. And it talks about Desmond Doss, and Desmond Doss in 1945 in World War II, Battle of Okinawa. They come out, and he has refused to take any weapons. He didn't believe in taking life, but he said God would protect him and take care of him, and that God would use him in whichever way he said that God needed him to go. And in this battle of Hacksaw Ridge, the first thing that the U.S. troops would have to do is that in order to ever even get to the fight, they had to climb up 400 feet of netted rope to get to the point that they could even fight with their weapons, with their ammunition, with everything that they had. They had to climb to the top. Well, some of us, including myself, probably aren't even making it the 400 feet. Ralton, do you guys do what, F3, right? Could you imagine 400 feet on a netted rope?
I'm getting excited. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's just go, right? And then we're actually going to get into the battle. We're going to get into the workout after we climb the 400 feet. Well, that's where Desmond was at. So at 400 feet of climbing, when you get to the top and you think you're exhausted and it wore out, all of a sudden he gets to the top and he realizes, now the bullets are coming to fly towards me. They're flying at me. Sometimes in life we feel like the rope is all that we have. And then we can't handle anymore. And then right whenever we are just as exhausted as we can be and we take that last step, we think we're at the end. You know, in the same way that we have Jesus' life and all of the things that we're going through and we're finally there, Jesus has got us through when people were wanting to stone us or run us out, or he has been in every aspect, there has been goodness, and then all of a sudden, here they come and they take his life. And that morning, I'm sure the disciples were scared to death in the same way that Desmond, when he got to the top, said, what's going on? Then all of a sudden, the bullets came flying, and the only hope that we have in life, the only hope that Desmond had in life, the only hope that the disciples had in life was to pray, God, please take your hand, lift me out of this situation, use me, and allow that hand of hope to guide me in the same way that Ezekiel is here. He is lifted up, he is carried in, and God says, this is what I need you to do. That day that Desmond climbed to the top and the bullets came to flying, about 2,500 U.S. soldiers lost their life. Desmond found himself in a place in which he was laying there, scared to death, didn't know what was going on. He prayed a prayer. He said, God, if you see fit, help me find just one person to save. Just one. Use me to save one person's life. We see here in Ezekiel that God says, speak life, and I'll breathe into them. Speak, and I'll bring them together. The morning Desmond said, God, allow me just one person to save. And after he saved that one, he said, God, allow me one more. Allow me one more. Allow me one more. And by the end, over 75 U.S. soldiers were saved. Why? Because one man put all of his hope and his trust in Jesus. And Jesus' hands were upon him and he used him. By himself, he would grab people and he would drag them to the edge of that 400-foot cliff, and he would tie a rope on them and he would lower them down by himself, and then he would go and he would grab another. I don't think I could get one down. 75, not to mention that he also cared for the Japanese soldiers that were there as well. See, our life should be in that same way. Even though the bullets came flying in, our prayer should be, Jesus, take care of us. Jesus, show me what to do. Our ministry, once we become Christians, right? Once we come into a relationship with Christ, should look in the same way. We should go and see death and try to drag them into safety. Drag them into the Lord's presence if we have to. Speak life into them. Preach the gospel to them. Share the good news with them. And in that time when we do that, and even though we are exhausted, even though we feel like we have nothing left, even though that we're worried, no matter how it goes, we can find joy in the morning. We can find excitement. Those graves, in the same way that you start planting that garden, that all you see is compost and death. Anybody here a gardener? Anybody here a gardener? No gardeners? Any farmers? Any farmers? No, not any? Man, I tell you, I get excited about compost. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Sounds weird. Because what compost is just a bunch of dead stuff that has come together, that has been eaten and broken down to a point that it is turned into something else. My prayer this morning is that God takes our old selves and breaks them down to the point that you cannot see any resemblance of what used to be. That we are composted into Him. And then all of a sudden, in that composting, in that death of our old selves, that all of a sudden, in the same way when you plant that garden into the middle of that death, when God comes into our life, all of a sudden springing forward out of that death comes something that gives life, that continues life, that allows us to see the goodness. And then all of a sudden, in the same way, when we talk about graves in the gardens, when we talk about Ezekiel seeing the land of dry bones come to life, he all of a sudden sees a vast army. Why? Because God was there, God was moving, God was using, God had the hand of hope. All of a sudden, when we see that, death no longer becomes something terrible. Death is something that you get excited about, because through death, now the garden can be revealed. Dig into a little bit of gardening and you'll understand. Without death, we can't have life. Without the death of Jesus, we would have no life. Goes in. Let's go back into Luke 24 for just a minute, and then I'm going to be somewhat short-lived this morning. We're going to go eat and get excited and celebrate, but we can't do any of that without reading verses 6 through 9. Whenever we go into verse 6 here, we have actually, halfway through verse 5, we have the two men in dazzling clothes stood there, and they said that the women were terrified and bowed to the ground. And their question is, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Asked the men. He is not here, but he is risen. Amen. Come on now. He's not here. He's risen. Why did you come to the tomb looking for Jesus? Why? Because you came here with your burial spices expecting to shed some tears, and I'm here to tell you, come here for the purpose of sharing the fact that the tomb could not hold Jesus. That the rock that was in front of the tomb that we would struggle for multiple men to move could not hold Jesus. You came here looking for death, and I'm here to tell you today it is every bit as much true as it was on this Easter morning. Jesus is not dead, he is alive. And if you have Jesus in your life and his hands are upon you and he has grabbed you up out of that death, composted you, taken and gotten rid of the old you and made you into something else, you no longer are dead but are finally alive. And the only thing that we are seeking at this point is the doorway to forever. Death looks totally different in that way, doesn't it? See, for the Christian, in the same way that we look at compost that I was talking about before, that you get excited as a farmer when you see all the death. When death comes to us as a Christian, we can say, hallelujah, I'm finally going home. I can finally be where I'm supposed to be. This world was not for me. This is just a temporary place in which I have work to do. When I go to work at Y-12 tomorrow for at least 10 hours, I'm going to say this is not the place for me. This is just the place I have to be for right now. And I get to go home at the end of the day. This life is so much more because we are here. This is not our home. This is just a temporary place in which we have to work out what God's desire and will is for us. And in the end, when we are made new and the garden is revealed, we get to go home. How exciting is that? Why? In the same way, why are you looking for him? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Asked the man. He is not here, but he is risen. And then he says, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed in the hands of sinful men, be crucified. Sometimes we stop at the crucifixions in life, don't we? You want me to just stop right there? Go have breakfast? Just continue our day. What do you guys think? Just stop with the he is crucified? No. And it says, and rise on the third day. Not only was he here, was he betrayed, was he laid in the sinful men's, and all of the hard things, crucified, they took his life. All of those things. I heard somebody say that he bled out every drop of blood in his body on the very ground that we walk on. He bled every drop of that out for us. He did that for us. And then what did he do? He rose, showing and conquering death, showing that he was God. And they then remembered his words. And you say, what does that have to do with us? It has to do with everything in us. And if we know those things, if we know that we were once dead, if we know that there was hope in the grave, we know that there's hope in the hands that hold us, and we know that the garden has been revealed to us and we see life in Christ, that we ourselves are saved sinners, and we are Christ, then what is our job? In verse 9, Luke writes down exactly what they did and what we should do. Returning from the tomb, returning from our place of death, seeing Christ in our life, returning from that, knowing that there was death, excited because we saw Christ, excited because we are saved, knowing that we now are totally made new, and that these were totally made new. They said, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all of the rest. Our job now is to go share the gospel, share the good news, take in the same way that Desmond Doss did, grab people out of death that are lying there waiting to take their last breath and pull them over to the cross and say, there's Jesus, there's the one that saved me, there is life. That's what you have. What I'm seeking is just somebody else to point to the cross, somebody else to share Jesus to, somebody else to breathe life into. Why? Because Jesus said, speak about me, tell them about me, bring them to me. Have compassion, preach the gospel, and then come home. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this morning, and I thank you for a risen Savior. Thank you for allowing us to see that garden, to see that death in us, that we were hopeless without you. And then, Lord, through you and you alone, you picked us up. You came through your Spirit into our lives, and you revealed yourself to us, and then you showed that you sent your Son down here, and he died for us, giving us the ability to call you and to live a life as our Savior. Lord, I thank you for the tomb. I thank you for the empty tomb. Lord, I thank you for a risen Savior. Allow our old selves to die and bring life in us to glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.